back today with an astrology episode. I know a lot of you guys really enjoy these. So if you're just relaxing and listening, I always suggest pulling your birth chart out during these so you can kind of follow along and really gain some powerful insights. And if you're just driving or walking and listening to this, that is perfect too. And you will receive so. I always suggest pulling your birth chart out during these so you can kind of follow along and really gain some powerful insights. And if you're just driving or walking and listening to this, that is perfect too. And you will receive so. Back today with an astrology episode. I know a lot of you guys really enjoy these. So if you're just relaxing and listening, I always suggest pulling your birth chart out during these so you can kind of follow along and really gain some powerful insights. And if you're just driving or walking and listening to this, that is perfect too. And you will receive so much information. Today, of course, I have a special guest, my favorite expert astrologer, and also my mom. She's an astrologer and a tarot reader. A lot of you guys know her. She has been around for quite a bit of time, and she's super well known in my community. So if you already know her, then you know I'm here to introduce readings by Xenia or Oksana. And if you haven't been introduced to her yet, you are in for such a special treat. And I'm so excited for the topics that we're going to dive into today. But before we dive into these topics, I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Welcome back, dear friends. I'm so happy to be here and share my insights. As Paulina alluded, so I have 30 plus years of experience in astrology and more than 30 years of experience in tarot. So if you are interested to learn more, I would advise you to follow me on Instagram or just reach out to me.
Yeah, definitely follow her on Instagram at Readings by Xenia. I'll have it in the keynote. She posts so many astrology updates so that you can always keep up with what's going on in the cosmos. And especially her most signature and her most famous product is probably her birth chart reading. She does this beautiful, extensive birth chart reading. I've seen how long it takes, where she gives you an extremely thorough explanation of your chart and everything inside of it. You receive a PDF and a Zoom call, and you even receive a beautiful physical binder, a little book about you that you get to keep. It's amazing. And of course, I know a lot of my clients, I always send to her for tarot, as she's a tarot expert. So if you ever have any questions, different situations you're in, I know we're going through so many transformative times. I always advise, if you're looking for a reliable, genuine, grounded tarot reader, to always seek her advice. She's amazing. I know that I definitely do as well at times. So today's topic we wanted to talk about was astrology based, and it's something that I'm really, really passionate about at the time. And a lot of my work is revolving around, which is feminine energy, feminine energetics. I truly believe that at this time on the planet, there is a huge reemergence of the feminine energy, especially after a period of patriarchy or a time where the male energy was dominant, right, on our planet. There's kind of a rebalancing going on, not a taking over, not, oh, it's going to be now feminine, but instead of harmony between those two energetics. And I think a lot of women, perhaps you even listening, are experiencing these various effects of this awakening. People call it the Shakti energy, or this divine feminine life force, or just your feminine essence. And I think that it is something so healing for so many women. I just ran a course, Wet and Wealthy, where it was a little bit on feminine energetics and on money primarily as well. And that really inspired me to take it further. And I just launched a new course called The Feminine Awakened, which I'll have the info in the description if you're called to, which will begin on July 6th. But we're going to really reconnect women with this essence. It's so healing and so powerful. So I guess before we go in, what is kind of your experience with feminine energy, and how do you see it in the current awakening, and why do you find it important to integrate? I'd like to hear from your perspective.
Well, I'm going to speak about the birth chart, right? So how you could see what kind of energy you are having in your birth chart, and basically what you need to work on. Because I agree with you, we should keep balance. So it cannot be just 100% masculine or 100% feminine, or even having 90% of feminine energy dominating your birth chart is probably not gonna do good. It doesn't mean that you are feminine or you are masculine. No, it's about energy, as you said. So masculine energy is about taking action, right? So it's being super active, but feminine energy is more about being intuitive, being nurturing. And in your birth chart, probably we'll discuss how to see those energies. you could identify what kind of energies are dominating your birth chart.
No, I understand. I'm just asking, in your opinion, kind of where do you see the kind of the importance of feminine energy kind of having an awakening before we dive into the birth chart?
In the awakening, it allows you to follow your intuition, right? So if you have well-developed feminine side, it allows you to be nurturing, to be supportive, to be kind. Because I think, and not be judgmental, because those masculine energies are all about taking actions and saying you're right, you're wrong. So kind of like more on that active side, action side. But feminine is more about being supportive, receptive. Yeah. So, and that's important in the time of awakening. So we don't judge each other, but we support each other.
Exactly. And I think that, like you were saying, everyone's chart's different, right? Someone might be primarily feminine or primarily masculine, which we'll talk about, but because of the structure that we've been in, right, where it's like very much, you can look at the way corporate is set up or the way world is set up, it's very like, doesn't honor emotions or flow or cyclical. It's kind of like you're expected in life to show up the same every single day, have the same energy, have the same attitude, which is very masculine, right? It's like very just consistent, versus the feminine is cyclical, it's flowy. Women are constantly changing and evolving. And so a lot of people, those who are have more of a, if you want to call it a masculine energy in their chart, or those who have more of a feminine energy in their chart, both have had the masculine exalted because of the structure that we're in, right, in a society. So no matter what even our chart was originally, the masculine has been really kind of had such a strong influence that even those who are primarily feminine haven't perhaps even been able, a lot of clients I work with who are feminine, they don't even feel safe expressing that because of the societal structure. And then those who are already kind of masculine, then that's just been exalted. So refinding in our chart what we primarily are and how to express that safely, whether we're super, you know, feminine already, or we've just been kind of, or we are already quite masculine, either way, that the split, that patriarchal structure has basically been like this energy that's been kind of sprayed over everyone. So by going back to our birth chart, we can begin to better understand ourselves, right?
That's true. And also, because you alluded correctly, I would say that, because, you know, we live in society that's ruled by males, it means that this masculine energy is exalted. That means logic, that means taking action, and those who rely on their intuition or try to follow their guts or emotions get ridiculed. So we need to correct that. And even if your birth chart, there is more feminine energy, it means that it's your natural state to follow your intuition, but you are forced to follow logic. So I often use an analogy. So you cannot force fish to climb the tree and say like, oh, bad fish, because you cannot climb the tree. But this fish is not intended to climb the tree. The fish is intended to, you know, swim in the waters, but everyone is expecting everyone to climb that tree.
Exactly. And kind of like breaking it into two categories. So those who are already primarily feminine, feel so disconnected from that, right? And they're like they feel like they're forcing through life. I've had a lot of clients who I can see organically have that kind of energy, but then, like you're saying, it's like everyone else is climbing the tree and they feel confused and they feel stuck and like they're not good enough or they're not getting something, when their kind of compass, which we'll speak about in the chart, is like you have to follow your intuition. And those that are already are masculine, it's already it becomes more exalted, which leads you to burnout, and you feel like, why am I, for me, I was already quite action oriented, and so then being in a society that rewards action and not rest and intuition and flow, it was like rediscovering that part of myself, so that you're not at the edge of burnout, which so many women are. And it's only at the end where they're like, wow, why am I like pushing and forcing and ignoring my cycle and everything, right, that you begin to kind of call back. So it impacts everyone in different ways. So I guess kind of getting started, how, when you look at someone's chart, how do you see what energies are primarily dominating organically in their chart?
It's a good question. So basically there are 12 signs, and every one of you guys probably know, and those signs are split into elements. So there are masculine signs, And the energy of those signs are air and fire. So air signs, it's Aquarius, it's Libra, and it's Gemini. And fire signs are Sagittarius, Aries, and Leo. So those planets that are in those signs are masculine energies. So, and those planets that are in earth or in water signs are feminine energy. So to see which energy is dominating, you need to estimate each planet in your birth chart. And I am a follower or a student of Western astrology, let's put that way, because there are multiple different astrologies. So it's a modern Western astrology. 10 planets are used to evaluate one's birth chart. So it's not, it doesn't use the fictive points such as notes or some other things that some of the astrologers, like Vedic astrologists, are using. So to answer your question, you need to analyze the position of each planet in each sign and what the dominance of the signs is in your birth chart will indicate what's the energy, masculine or feminine.
Could you give an example of a few feminine placements and a few masculine placements just so we can kind of get an idea?
Yeah, for example, your sun is in Gemini. So, and Gemini is air. So like it's in masculine energy. Your moon is in Cancer and Cancer.
No, Capricorn. Are you talking about me or you?
No, I'm just.
Oh, general. Oh. Okay.
Example. So for you, again, your moon is in Capricorn. Capricorn is earth. It's feminine energy, right? And then looking at your Mercury. And your Mercury, let's say, I don't know where your Mercury, my Mercury is in Cancer. So it means water, feminine energy. So we have already one masculine, right? And two feminine. And then you go by each planet and make calculations. So what I've seen, usually people pretty good distribution, like 40-60, 50-50. I rarely see 90-10, and I've never in my 30 years experience seen that any chart with just 100% of masculine or 100% feminine energy. There's usually some balance. And for those who is not that balanced, usually, you know, you have to see which planet is in the opposite energy. So for example, 90% masculine and 10% feminine. If it's sun or if it's your moon, because sun and moon is your personal core, right? These are the most important celestial bodies in one's birth chart. But for example, if it's a social planet or if it's higher planets such as Saturn or Jupiter or Uranus, Neptune or Pluto, it's not that critical. So it's also important which planet is in that sign, if it makes sense. But usually, as I said, it's 40-60, 50-50, could be 70-30, but for most people, it's kind of balanced.
So it's good to kind of take a look at your birth chart just so you can even begin to kind of understand maybe why you lean towards one direction, or like you're saying, if you're a little bit even, this is like your chart is your imprint. So you can veer away from your chart, right? So you could be like 60% feminine, 40 masculine, but because of the structure you've been in, you've like not really embodied the feminine aspect. So I think oftentimes with people, I need to understand that a chart is like an example of your expression. It can be expressed in lower octaves or higher octaves, right? The person, you have your same chart your whole life, but you express it differently as you grow in consciousness, right?
Exactly. And just for example, for some people, it may be like feel overwhelming, like, oh my God, it's 2 planets, 12 signs, and I have to remember everything. Then just take a look at your core, sun and moon, and see how balanced these are. And then it's going to tell you like where you're more inclined, taking more actions, relying on logic, or, you know, being more nurturing, following and supportive. So for example, in your case, sun is in Gemini, it's masculine, but moon is feminine, right? So it's because it's Capricorn and it's earth. So it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for in my case, sun is in Cancer, so it's water, feminine, and my moon is in Leo, it's masculine. Again, 50-50. For some people, it means that you could do both, mm-hmm. right? So in some situations, you may rely on your intuition or have like gut feelings or just follow, versus in other situation. And again, sun is our spark. That's, you know, who you are. And for you, for example, your sun is masculine. It's who you are. So it means that you prefer to take actions, but your moon is how you perceive, right? It's your emotions. For your emotions to feel calm, to feel nurtured, it's very important to follow.
That's interesting. It's true. Cause for me, I like to be expressive and talk, but emotionally I like to feel relaxed. Like I don't like to emotionally feel energized. Like some people like to feel like, you know, like I like to feel very chill emotionally, but then I like to talk a lot, but from a chill space.
Right. And for me, that's the opposite. So like, you know, for me, you have to have a push to take action, because my sun is feminine. It's like, I would rather follow. If you create something, I'll come. I'm not gonna, you know, do something. But if I do something, my emotions are very active. You know, it's gonna be lots of passion. And if, you know, when I express my emotions, I'm very active.
It's very true, because even your birthday is coming up and I'm like, I want to plan something. I have a whole idea, you know, and then you're like, I'll come. So it's like that receptivity. I guess if someone was just beginning to be like, okay, wow, I feel like I've been way too much in my masculine because of societal structure, maybe because of their job, how can they go about reconnecting to their inner feminine through their birth chart?
Usually your birth chart has some hints about, you know, what kind of actions will help you, right? And those connections are called aspects. So what you need to do, you have to see what kind of aspects your planets have. And if you're talking about feminine, there is a planet that signifies feminine energy, that's Venus. And everyone knows Venus or Aphrodite, or, you know, that's the planet that signifies our sexuality, also like female sexuality. So you need to see the sign where your Venus is, and if it's in strong position or in a weak position. So those guys who have their Venus in Aries or Scorpio or Virgo will have more challenging time to express their sexuality or their feminine side. But then you have to look what kind of aspects this planet has. So if those aspects are tensions, and tensions means 90 degrees with other planets or 180 degrees with other planets, or it has more harmonious aspects such as trine, 120 degrees or conjunctions, right? So it's 0 degrees. So those planets that kind of like on the other side holding hands, it means in harmonious positions, or they are fighting. It means tension. So those positions. So you need to see what's gonna make you fight or what's gonna make you feel relaxed or good or have support. So have to look at the aspects, and those other planets and aspects will provide you a hint. So basically there is no one size fits all answer. It really depends on your birth chart.
Can you give an example of, like, let's say Susie, has a birth chart. She feels like she's burnt out and way too much in her masculine. She wants to begin embodying her feminine somehow in her daily actions. Can you just give an example of something she could find in her chart and could begin activating that?
Right. So if she feels she burned out, she feels like, oh, she needs to push and be kind of like a hustler. She's always go, 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 go. Probably her Venus is in Aries. And let's put that way. So it means that her Venus is in a weak position, because, you know, Venus is itself as an embodiment of feminine energy. It should follow. But here, Venus is in a masculine side. So sign. So Venus as a feminine energy is located in Aries, which is fire. So it doesn't feel comfortable being in that sign, makes sense. So that energy already has some kind of, you know, ickiness, let's put that way.
Like, it's more natural to be action oriented than to connect, because the feminine is relaxed, but that person's right. Feminine wants to do. So it's kind
exactly.
of
exactly. It's already kind of like internal conflict. And then she needs to see what kind of aspects. And let's say that your Venus has a harmonious aspect with Neptune. So then it means that meditations will help. Or learning about spirituality, or maybe paying attention to her dreams, because, you know, she needs to see everything what Neptune signifies, right? And in which house it's also located. And let's say that her Neptune is located in third house. It means that self-studies will help, or communicating with people who kind of share ideas about spirituality, about meditations, gonna help her to express, basically to pull her out of that masculine energy and put her into that feminine energy. Make sense?
I guess another question though, do you think that we have the particular placement that we do for a reason? So for example, maybe she can embody the feminine through something more action. So like, for example, like maybe yoga is like, maybe for her sitting is too difficult, just sitting and breathing, but maybe something like yoga or something like walking for like 10,000 steps, something that's more action would be an indication of how she could connect with her feminine.
That's possible. And, you know, I would say that every position of planet in your birth chart, it's not random. So, and I keep telling everyone that we are energies. So we are energies having that physical experience here on Earth. So we are here to allow our spirit to learn different things, to learn, you know, how to feel pain, how to feel happiness, how to feel love, how to feel like everything, right? But your birth chart will tell you exactly why your spirit came here on Earth. And it's not estimated or justified or indicated by just position of one planet. It's the entire chart. So you cannot kind of like cherry pick and say like, oh, this is this, this, this is, no, you have to look into entirety. Because, you know, an analogy that I could use is that four different priests, they were looking at an elephant, right? So, and one who touched his leg said, oh, it's column. And another one who touched his tail said, no, it's a rope. And one who touched his trunk said, it's something weird. And, you know, one who touched his ear said something else, right? So you cannot just, you have to look holistically. So that's why you need to see the position of all planets, how they are all interconnected. Then you'll be able to see like, oh, this is why your Venus is actually in Aries. And then also, I'm gonna use, you know, one term, probably not everyone will understand, or you guys will freak out, but, you know, whatever, for example, if Venus is in Aries, so we need to see, it's called dispositor. It's the planet that rules Aries where it is, because it allows to see how this Venus, or, you know, liking or feminine energy or sexuality is expressed on this chart. So we need to see the position of Mars, because Mars rules Aries where it is located in the birth chart. So then it will help us understand how Susie embodies her feminine. And for example, if your Mars is also in feminine side, it means that, yeah, you know, your dominant behavior may be more on the masculine side, kind of like go, 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 go. She cannot sit still, but at times she still can rely on her feminine side, because, you know, her Mars is, let's say, like, you know, in Pisces, right? So she could do meditation. So she could, she's not aggressive. So whatever she does, it's not in an aggressive way. Make sense?
Kind of, I guess, like, for me, then if we're looking more at the big, I shouldn't look more like specifically, but like, I guess if you look at it from a big picture view, you could say that like your soul chose the things it chose to learn specific lessons. So your soul wouldn't choose to have every planet in the perfect space and only trines because you wouldn't grow, right? So you're maybe meant to have meant to have a position so that you learn, oh my gosh, I lived really burnt out. And maybe because you had Venus in Aries, you decided to quit your job, for example, and focus on cultivating your feminine. And then let's say you start a spiritual business. That's happened to so many people, right? Like, so one of the placements actually was a gift. So because you push, because that was your placement, you then realize that that's not a way to do it. And so then you decided to activate a different part of your chart. Then you're like, no, let's say you had a spiritual awakening and then you decided to do something in that space, right? Then you your whole life transitions, and then you're now focused on kind of activating your own inner feminine, and now you have all that experience. So it's like, if you didn't have that placement, you're always feminine, maybe you wouldn't do anything and you wouldn't really do much because you were just chilling, versus that aspect made you take a lot of action, do a lot of stuff, you got burnt out, and you're like, wait, I'm going to start activating a different part of my out of my chart, because like you're saying, we're a mix of energy, so we can begin to hyper focus on activating one specific part. Like, a good example of this is that during each season, it's easier to access those energies. So for example, during Taurus season, it's way easier to be slow and in your body and in the now. And during Gemini season, it's easier to communicate, or you're more inclined to be social. So it's like, kind of as using that as a metaphor, you can kind of focus on activating a specific part of your chart consciously.
That's correct, and absolutely right about the seasons and the energy for the season. But also, everyone should remember that their birth chart is not 100% fate. It indicates potential, and it's up to you how you activate this potential. So in your example, you said that, oh, she was burned out and she did blah, 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 this and this and that. And then you also alluded to being different seasons, but different seasons are ruled by different planets. And those other planets, 10 planets, they're always moving, and those movement called transits. So if a specific planet form an aspect or a connection with your planets in your birth chart, that's basically kind of like a push of that energy. So it forced you to act. It's not just kind of like you said, and out of nowhere, it's not like, let me think, my life sucks, I'm probably gonna do this. Or like, let me express my feminine. No, there was kind of external force that activated the potential within your birth chart, and you start expressing, because not everyone feels that energy. And I think what your course is intended to help females to be in contact with their intuition, with their cycle, with their emotions, so they feel and they know when to activate, something that's been bugging them or been kind of like boiling inside, and that's the time when they should act and not just kind of like follow pure logic. Because maybe from pure logic perspective, you should not do that. And I will provide my example. So when I quit my corporate job, so I had a very successful corporate job when I was an executive, and two huge departments were under my supervision, and about 12 different people reported to me. So why I would quit this job when I was successful? But I felt something kind of like some force inside, like, no, you like this. And it's been kind of like inside myself for a very long time. And one time it just kind of like, okay, no, this is time. I should just start from fresh. And it was like comparing that with tarot cards, everyone knows the Fool card and they think like, oh, the Fool card probably is bad card. No, it's not bad card. It just means that it gives you a leap of faith. You just step to the unknown. And I just follow my intuition. And I said, yeah, I'm just guided to do that. And I'm going to leave this job and I'm going to start to do what I like to do.
Yeah, I guess I didn't explain it that well. Like you're saying, cosmos are always influencing us, that you're not just like, what should I do now? You just out of nowhere feel guided. And the more you're connected to your inner feminine, the more you hear that guidance. So for example, for me in April, I was like, I need to start going to pole classes. It was just such a strong feeling. It wasn't like, what should I activate in my chart now? I'll activate this. It's just it's like the cosmos are always moving. Planets are moving nonstop. And so that's how, I guess you can explain how your life is guided, right? Like your energy is always flowing. And if you're connected, it's like, it's like if you have the, if your vision is like, life is giving you signs, but if your vision's blurry, you just don't see it. The more connected you are to your inner feminine, the more you see when the sign is like, leave, do this, don't do this. But then the people who aren't connected with your inner self and have really disconnected from their inner voice because of variety of things, then when life is like, do it, then
right. It might be so difficult to hear. They may even not see it, they just feel it. You just cannot hold it inside. You just feel the need to express it. You may not even see. It's just something inside you that keeps you keeps telling you, like, do this, or like, stop doing this, just quit that. Or, you know, it's just inside you. That's why it's very important to trust yourself and trust your female energy, your feelings, your intuition.
Yes, but it's interesting how you explain, because it's so many factors. It's like, at the end of the day, it's being like tuned in to be able to listen. You and I kind of give the example, you don't necessarily need to even know what's going on in your chart. It's when you follow your intuition, then you look at your chart, you're like, that makes sense, right? Like, you were just following what you were intuitively guided to, and then when you look, later you look and you're like, oh, X, Y, and Z show clearly that it's this. It's less of a logical thing where you need to, people, I think, get overwhelmed with astrology because they think that it's like they have to look at it as like a roadmap and know what to do. And like, I think that's when it gets overwhelming for people, because they think it's like some other project, right? Like some other form of control of like, oh, now this is happening, so I need to do this, or now this is in my house. So it's like, no, it's just like, it just gives you clarity and explanation and understanding and almost like reassurance in a way, right? Of trusting your intuition.
Right. And what I found interesting, and a lot of my clients found interesting, that those folks who reach out to me, for example, for professional orientation, or just kind of like wanted to have some confirmations that the path that they are choosing professionally is the right path and it's going to be fulfilling. Your spirit already knows. And, you know, when I say like, hey, I see that working with real estate is going to bring you lots of money, and I hear from my client, like, how do you know? This is exactly what, you know, I'm working on. This is exactly what I'm planning to do. Or another thing that I include some forecasts, like, you know, brief forecasts for you guys who order birth chart reading. And like I tell, okay, in the next 3 to 4 months, I see you're gonna change career, or you will have some job opportunities that's gonna come to you. So basically, you know what's coming. And again, some of my recent clients, she was kind of like, oh my God, yes, exactly. Like, you know, I've been given these two opportunities, and, you know, and I'm thinking which one to choose. Like, how did you know? And so many examples like that. So I think knowing their birth, like your birth chart and what's coming, is gonna serve as a confirmation to your point that you are doing something that within your divine plan, let's put that way. And
clarity, clarity. So when things come into your life, it doesn't feel random. You understand, just like when there's Mercury retrograde, you know, it's Mercury retrograde. You understand why the energy's slower. You're not like, what's happening in my life? Why is everything? You understand, oh, this is a time for reflection. So it like, it's like you connecting the dots ultimately.
Right. So basically, kind of like we will compare all these 10 planets. It's kind of like a big clock, right? So it's a big clock, and you look at the clock and you see, oh, this is time for dinner. Oh, this is time for breakfast. So, or this is time to sleep, right? So like in your retrograde example, like, oh, this is time to go sleep. Okay. Because at the night, you're not going to go and, I don't know, just be jumping on the beach. I hope not.
and a good another thing that popped into my mind while you were speaking is it shows you not to compare yourself, because people can be going through different transits. So for example, I was telling you before, I noticed with so many people that during their Saturn return, depending on the kind of person they were, I see people during their Saturn return obviously have crazy shit happen to them to make them wake up, or like their life, it feels like life is just like giving them blessing after blessing after blessing. And it like, it almost looks insane. I've seen this consistently, like almost to the point where it feels like someone is the director of their movie and they're obsessed with that person and they're just giving them everything. Or there's people have different amazing things happen to them or more difficult things. So it's not compare yourself, because yes, there's free will, but there's also such a cosmic influence. So someone might have like amazing success in their business or something huge, or meet a partner or whatever, but that's like very clearly in their transition. transits for the time, but people are comparing themselves. First of all, we're usually not the same age as that person. Second of all, we have a completely different chart than that person. And so it's like, yes, you do have free will, but also cosmos influence you so much, and you can feel this on full moons, or you can't ignore it. Like, you can try to be as emotionally rational and chill, but if you know that you're 70% water and that's being pulled up to the surface, yes, you have some free will, but there's still such a strong influence. Like, I could force myself to go work out or run when I'm exhausted, but I'm exhausted, versus maybe another day I'm really energized, aka the cosmic influence, right? So it's like, to understand that, I think people compare themselves a lot and are like, why is that happening to this person? Why is this happening? And it's like, there's transits, and that's what divine timing means, is that the cosmos are divine and they're always moving things. And so when you look at it in linear time, you think, oh, why does that person have this and I don't? But that person's like on a completely different cosmic path. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And we were talking only about transits, but there is also some other methods that astrology uses for predictive purposes. It's called progressions, right? And very important progressions are moon progression. So you could be in a different phase of the moon progression, because, you know, as naturally moon has two cycles, kind of like a waxing and waning periods, same in your birth chart. So you have to see where you are, and knowing your moon progressions will allow you to see like, oh, my moon now is in Gemini and in the 11th house, and I'm speaking of myself, right? So it means that it's time to communicate, because, you know, Gemini, it's about communication, right? So I will be more actively communicating during these 2.5 years, because that's the time that your progressive moon stays in one sign. And 11th house signifies circle of friends or groups of people with the same interest. So it means that probably you'll be more active on social media. That's exactly what happened with me, right? So you understand why the things that you are experiencing or feeling are happening with you, and helps you to prepare. Okay, and the next 2.5 years, my focus will be, and I'm just kind of like making it up.
I can give you a good example, like crazy. So my progress moon, it actually just shifted in June, but with the past 2.5 years was in Scorpio. Every single part of my life changed, everything you could imagine, like my personality,
right?
Yeah, like every single, like it's almost like nothing is the same as it was 2.5 years ago, which is crazy. It was like literally like the Phoenix metaphor, like everything is just transformed. And now mine's going into Sagittarius, or actually it's crazy, literally this June. So then I can feel that shift, because I was very reserved into myself, and I was telling, like, I would just research and dig deep into psychology and esoteric. I was like I wanted to sit in a cave and just study and research, and like, you know, like they always have like those memes of like people who like 50 photos on the wall, like detectives. That's how I felt. Like, I just had thousands of like pins of like everything I was trying to understand, and now
exactly.
I can feel,
and that's exactly the description of Scorpio sign, right? It's a detective.
And like, now it's moving into Sagittarius. So how would you see a moon progression in Sagittarius?
Well, when moon progress in Sagittarius is a sign of expansion. Plus, Sagittarius is fire, and so it's masculine energy. So it's going to be 2.5 years of you being in masculine energy. It's kind of like you trying to educate, right? Because, you know, or expand. Sagittarius, it's about education, sharing knowledge, being a teacher. So I would say for the next 2 years, this active energy or masculine energy will be implied or exploited within the field of education. So most likely, if you would come to me and say what I could expect, I would say probably in the next 2.5 years, you will share a lot of knowledge, you'll be like a teacher, and you will try to expand your business or whatever house, you know, your Sagittarius is in your birth chart.
We'll report back in 2 years. So I want to record it on this podcast. I think it'll be like cool to come full circle. Yeah, it's like you're saying, then you understand what's coming and you can understand the changes. It's like, it gives you like a roadmap, you know? So it's like, for example, I have a kind of a cool metaphor. When my husband and I were in Sedona on the ATV, do not recommend, was very traumatic, but basically they give you a piece of paper and they're like, when you see this, turn right. When you see this sign, turn left. When you see this big rock, turn right. So that you, it's like a mini roadmap. So you're going, you know, okay, I'm here, like I'm halfway along, you know, like it just gives you a sense of awareness. Sure, you could have just gone in and drove and tried to figure it out and hopefully made it to the end. But when you know what to look out for, you know what cycles, right? I think also astrology is really powerful because it's very cyclical, right? You could speak to that, how you can begin to understand when lessons repeat or things come full circle as well.
Exactly. So, and that's why the majority of forecasts, if you guys read the forecast, they are based either on the position of sun, and they say like, oh, this month, you know, Taurus should expect this and Cancer should expect that, blah, blah, blah. And this is so generic because, you know, sun is only one planet in your birth chart. You have nine more, right? And then also they pay attention to the position of Jupiter, because Jupiter is another very key planet that signifies cycle, 12-year cycle. And then to your point, Saturn. Saturn is 28 or 28 and a half, for some people, 29 years cycle. So it's called like Saturn return. And Saturn is a lot of karma. So it means that if you were good, bad, indifferent, then what these are the grades you will get. It's basically, we should compare Saturn like as a teacher in high school. So it's gonna grade you. If you were a good student, then you probably will get good grades. But if you're not good students, then you will have to learn it again. You may have to go to detention, or you may have to, I don't know, go to summer school, whatever.
There's like so much in my mind. The first thing I was gonna say was like, I'm like, can't wait for that. I'm like, Saturn, you better be nice. I've been doing so much stuff. But it's ultimately the more it can, like, I think astrology essentially can also help you reconnect to that inner wisdom by explaining. It's also really beautiful because you can look back retrospectively with astrology and understand what happened and see, oh, this transit, this happened, this then. And I think that's why people get mind blown when someone can like look at, you know, the past blank years and explain what was going on. In the same way, then it allows you, like you're saying, to understand where you are now and understand what kind of energies are kind of coming of what you can expect. So I guess I have another question. When you do solar return readings, like just a reading for what's upcoming up for the next year, what's looked at it in those? When, like, I know some people, like, basically, let's say it's your birthday. I just had a recent birthday. You could kind of like predict what the next year would kind of look like. What planets are looked at for that? I know it's a lot, but.
Well, so in predictive astrology, there are multiple methods, and you cannot use one method over another method. The most popular are transits, right? So you will look at the transits, and most astrologers look at the transits of slower planets. So such as Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and then social planets, Saturn and Jupiter. And sometimes if a client has a specific question, then, you know, probably will look at the fast planets such as Mars or Venus, right? Because it's so much work. You have to like see where each planet is and which connections it makes with your birth chart. So it's kind of like time consuming. But also to say with accuracy that this event is going to take place, you have to look at progressions, right? And we were talking about progression of moon, but there are actually progressions of sun that are important and other progressive planets. So what kind of aspects are forming in your progressive chart? And then finally, you have to look at your solar returns that you just alluded. And you cannot just use your solar returns and say, oh, this is gonna happen. It's all again in combination. So you have to see similar theme that's developing in progression, in transits, in your solar return. And then this event or some, you know, theme will be activated for the next year. Make sense?
Yeah, so like saying that there's so many also aspects of astrology, right? Like the chart is like this kind of like treasure that you can look at it in different ways to understand different things. So I guess for you, I know that your best selling thing that you usually have a wait list for is your ultimate birth chart reading. So can you explain what that looks like?
Yes, so thank you for asking about ultimate birth chart. So ultimate birth chart reading is a full analysis of obviously composition of your energies, what are your key traits, your talents, the areas or opportunities for development, the analysis of each planet, how each planet impacts your life, because you know there are planets that could be weak or could be strong, and weak planets bring challenges to the spheres of life that they are ruling or kind of like they are responsible for this. That's the term. And then what you could do to strengthen this planet, right? And then I also include analysis of each area of your life. So like your partnership, your money, your career, what kind of career suits best to you, how to make money with an ease, where you could earn money. And then if I see something kind of like, let's say it's not good for you to make investments, let's say in real estate, I would say like, oh, I would not advise because blah, blah, blah. So explaining some of the things that will work best for you and you should pursue them, or some of the things that you should avoid or pay close attention. So for example, in some people, they should pay close attention to contracts, right? Or to any documents or to even legal matters, because again, there are some indicators in their birth chart. Because you know, some of the things that you may, probably no one will tell you, but your birth chart, that, hey, you know, this is the things that you need to pay attention to, right? And then also analysis of some karmic points and your purpose of life, that because, you know, we look at your notes and some of the other look at fixed stars, so to say, that indicate whether you will have, let's say, some good luck, right? Because, you know, I had some clients who were concerned about money, but her fixed star was, you know, in conjunction with her sun. So it means that she should not even worry about money. So some of the little bits of information that no one will ever give you about your birth chart. So, and in addition to that, your ultimate birth chart, you get a forecast of key events. So I'm not analyzing every small details or, you know, like your solar return and stuff like that, but the big trends that's going to impact your life for the next 2-3 years, or sometimes like 5 years, I'm going to tell you, and also the position of your progressive moon to see where you are and what you should prepare for.
Yeah, and also I want to mention that you get like a, you also not only get of course a digital copy, but you're able to have like a 1 hour Zoom to ask any questions. My assistant even ordered a chart recently and she was obsessed with it. And you also get a binder that's like really, really beautiful. It has like said by Xenia, ultimate birth chart, and then you have all of your pages in it as well. So you get to keep this like really beautiful book, and it's like the gift that keeps on giving, because you can always return back to it for like clarity. It's like almost like any good spiritual book, how you could read it every year and you get something different. You reference back to your birth chart, the different times of your life, and you might hear the exact message or little bit about yourself or little section that you need to hear in that moment, again because you're connected with your intuition. So as you read it, you'll know whatever will stand out to you is meant to stand out to you at the time.
Exactly. So, and you know, if you guys curious how many pages, so it's about 30 to 35, and you know, depends on how many aspects your birth chart has, right? Because you know, we know everyone's birth chart is different, and for some people there's a lot of interactions between planets, so it's going to be a lot of information. And I also had some clients who actually ordered birth chart as a gift. So one of my clients, she ordered this as a gift for her mom, another one ordered as a gift for her boyfriend, and another one ordered birth chart just for both her mother and her sister. It's Michelle.
Yeah, it's such a great gift. Like if someone got me that, I would be like in awe. Someone was like, here, I got an expert astrologer to do your entire chart and just give you information. Like, I just think that that's like, what an amazing gift, right? You know, people always, marketing always tries to be like, here's a thoughtful gift, and it's like a banana or something random, you know, but this is like genuinely such a thoughtful gift. Of course, like I always suggest getting it for yourself first. I just think it'll bring you so much clarity. I remember, like, you know, my assistant was sending me like explaining all the birth chart. She was like, how does she know? And like this and this and like all these crazy things. And a lot of the predictions you said, a lot of them are coming true, like, you know, in the career sector. So it's really, it's like unbelievable in a way when you see it yourself. Like I always say, like some words don't teach experiences. Like someone can tell you, oh, this is good, but until you experience it, you don't know. Like someone can be like, oh, this supplement is good, and then until you take it and you feel energized and amazing, then you're like, whoa. Same thing with a birth chart. Someone can be like, this is very good, it's gonna be so helpful, it's gonna explain this, but until you do it and then you feel the clarity. And I think that there's no better feeling on the planet than understanding yourself or feeling seen and understood. I think that's why astrology is so healing, because it's like finally someone sees you so fully, and those bits and aspects about yourself that were maybe unexplainable or hard to put into words, it's like astrology kind of knows your soul in a way. And like to feel seen in that way and to be able to understand yourself deeper, it's just like so, I don't want to say rewarding, but it's like genuinely life-changing. You're like, whoa, all of these feelings, emotions, cycles, experiences that I felt now have validity to them, I guess, in a way. And it just deepens your self-trust again, and also opens your eyes and gives you clarity to know what's going to be arising in your life and to take those opportunities when they come, if they're aligned.
Exactly. As one of my clients, and she is a partner with McKinsey. So guys, if you know, McKinsey is a premier consulting company. So she said that a birth chart is a must have for everyone. So it even helped her to see some challenges with communications that she experienced. And she was kind of like, I'm not sure why it's happening. And then, you know, I explained, this is why, and this is what you should do. It was kind of like mind blowing for her. And she said, like, I was taking notes and just putting sticky notes just to remind myself, this is what I should do to be good, you know, in communication. So I feel understood, because, you know, she felt that whatever she communicated to others was fine, you know, because this is her perspective. But actually in the birth chart, you will see how other people also perceive you and what you should do to have that clear message to be clearly understood by others. So if it makes sense, and this is just one of the examples. Obviously, there are many other bits of insights of information about yourself, because each birth chart is unique. That's why there is no one size fits all. And there is some people say like, oh, I could order that, you know, machine or computer will do it. Yes, they're gonna print it the just position of different planets, but the information may be contradictory. And this requires so much analytics, I would say, like putting little pieces of puzzle together to make sure that, you know, it looks holistically, it looks cohesive, and it looks understandable, that which makes sense. Because, you know, if you took all different pieces of, you know, information, you may say like, it's all wrong. You know, astrology doesn't work.
Exactly. It's not something that can be auto-generated, which I think it's why it's such a beautiful craft. Like any kind of spiritual teachings, it's not like no algorithm can just provide you like guidance like someone who can see your soul in a way can. Like it's like incomparable. That's why, even side note, I think a lot of people don't like traditional therapy, because often those therapists, no offense, haven't even healed themselves, you know? So those people don't see themselves. How are they going to see you fully? You know, I just hear that so many people come to me from traditional therapy and are like, literally one, just having one session with you or being in whatever course, whatever it is, they're like, I feel so understood. And it's like, of course, because if I'm not saying there aren't great therapists, but a lot of them haven't done their own inner works. And then, so they're not operating from a deep level of clarity. And oftentimes the pressures, and I mean, there's many factors, but it's going to be hard for them to see you and give you clear, grounded advice if they're not feeling that way themselves, right? It's like the archetype of the wounded healer. It's like you have to take care of yourself first and fill your own cup to be able to view others clearly and not project in a way as well.
Exactly. So how would you trust someone how to raise your children if they had never had children, right?
Yeah, similar to them. So I know we started talking about feminine energy and we kind of went in a 180. I just think there's so much to astrology to learn and understand. I think just having an astrologer answer questions is so, gives greater clarity to begin to just see how limitless your chart is, and can kind of, and depending on what you're needing in the moment, knowing what you need to find from it. Like whenever people ask me, I always recommend the ultimate birth chart reading, because it's just, it gives you so much. And like I said, something you can reference back to. So I'll have, of course, all of your information down below. And the link to the ultimate birth chart. How long does it take for people to get it on average? A lot of people ask me that.
Well, so it takes for me a 1 week to do one birth chart reading, right? So that's why there is usually a wait list. So if you order it now in June, so you'll get it probably like in July. So early July. So for those who order it now, we'll get it early July.
Yeah, because then a wait list begins to form. So if you're listening to this, the sooner you're listening to this, the earlier you'll be. You know, like if there's five people, then you end up being kind of further back. So whenever I mention it, I tell everyone like you should book it now because you don't want to like wait 2 weeks and then like 10 other people have it and then you're going to get it in September. Do you know what I mean? Just so you...
Yeah.
At least I'm that way. Like for me, whenever I'm shopping and like the marketing tool, when it's like just one left, I'm like, Apple Pay, take my money. I need it now. But like if there's, it's like just that demanding, but yeah, it's something that takes so much time, right? It's not auto generated at all. It's not just something that just like can be done even in a day. It's like such a process. It's almost like writing a book in a way about every person. Like you don't just write a whole book in a day. It usually takes months of showing up and channeling people right early in the morning and like consistently creating this like gift. So it's like this like custom narrative about your soul. It's so amazing. And I highly, highly recommend it.
And plus, you know, also it may take time because sometimes what I found, people provide me with their time of birth and, you know, building this chart and, you know, asking some questions because I always do rectification. And rectification means that I'm confirming that your birth time is correct. I've been able to find that sometimes people, you know, oh, sorry, you know, this is the wrong time. Or, you know, my mom said this, but I found in my birth certificate different time because I will be able to see if your time is correctly provided. So that's why sometimes it takes also a back and forth to make sure that the time that you provided is correct time and that the birth chart that we start to analyze is accurate birth chart, because also I found not all astrologers do rectification, and then it also makes some people wonder like, huh, this is not about me, this is about someone else. Of course it will be about someone else, because even a few times in few minutes in time difference will make big change. Like for example, for Polina, because she was born at
12:15 a.m.
yeah, 12:15. But if you know she was born even 12:13, the time will like your ascendant will be in different sign, because it was
Capricorn. Would it have been
It would be Capricorn. Exactly.
Wow. Life would be like too much earth. We need to give her the Sagittarius. It'd be too much because I have so much earth in my chart.
Yes.
Otherwise I would never leave the house. I'd always be working. The Capricorn moon and Capricorn rising. Too much. All masculine. Oh no, it'd be actually another feminine. But yeah, so it's important like to have accurate times. People are like, oh, just can I just tell you the hour? And it's like you want to provide the best service. So it's like it's gonna make a huge difference. So it's like it's not you. Do you know what I mean? It's like once someone's like, oh, let's color match your foundation, and then they're like, we don't have like your color, but we can do like five shades darker. You know, it's like it's not the same. It's not the exact match for you and for your chart.
Exactly. And having this education in physics. So guys, if you know, I have PhD in physics and experience working in Academy of Science and doing everything from the scientific point of view, for me, having accuracy is the key. So I'm so adamant about that. So that's why, you know, for some clients, we go back and forth before I feel confident that this is their birth chart. And then we start analysis.
Well, thank you so much for joining. I love having you on. We should have it as kind of a consistent feature. We've done a lot of other topics. We talk about the sun and moon in another episode. So if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen to the sun and moon, your personal core episode. And I believe we did another one. I don't even remember. I think it was on Mars and Venus or like on dating dynamics.
Exactly. So we're talking about
synastry, love, compatibility, all that kind of stuff. So that's a really good episode too. So you can just scroll wherever you're listening. Most likely, you know, if you're listening to this episode on that platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, then you'll be able to find those. There's definitely listen to those, and I'll have everything we discussed in the keynotes for you to find any resources and everything that I mentioned. Any final words that you'd like to share?
Well, so I shared today about positivity, about importance of staying positive. So I think, guys, every time you think a loving thought, you literally bless all realm of creation, including self. So try to stay positive, express your nurturing, feminine, supportive energy, and it's going to help not only you, but it's going to help all of us. Thank you.
Very nice. I love that. Oh, and I always ask at the end of the episode, even though you've answered it, but perhaps it's changed. What does unlimited abundance mean to you? Everyone answers it so differently. So it's really inspiring to hear.
Yeah. Unlimited abundance means unlimited opportunities, unlimited energy, unlimited resources. And try to remember that we are all one, and we, by helping self or by helping others, you're helping self and the vice versa.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to having you soon, and definitely stay connected with both me and Xenia on Instagram. That's where we are the most. And we hope to connect with you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.